And the scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. The parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And the parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen.
I'd like you to help me with this morning. I'm going to give you a word, and I'd like you to give me the opposite word. Just shout it out to me. Black and white. Dark and light. Big and small. Heavy and light. Inside and outside. Up and down. Whisper and shout. Stop and go. Lost and found. Thank you, and I will all go home. Lost is a word which is familiar to us, but it's not necessarily a word that we welcome. Lost. A little while ago, I was in an office situation, and the man in the office had lost his keys. He couldn't remember where he had left them. And he thought he'd had them in his pocket, but they weren't there. So we started looking behind cupboards and in desk drawers, on top of filing cabinets, behind room doors, in boxes, under boxes, on top of boxes, around boxes. We kept looking for the keys. We scoured the office from top to bottom. We asked everyone who was there, had they seen the keys? We phoned everybody who had been in the office that morning to see if they by any chance had taken them by mistake. We couldn't find the keys. Eventually we did. They were behind a box in the cupboard as they had dropped out of my friend's pocket. Lost. And sometimes it's a trivial thing that we lose. Sometimes it's something which is very unimportant but maybe has sentimental value. Maybe it's a pen or something which hasn't particular value, but we lose it and we scour the house looking for it until we find it. The word lost has different significance for us in terms of different things. I don't know if you heard on the news this week on Monday about Britain's largest family. The first child in this family was born in 1989, and the BBC News told us that on Monday the 22nd child in the family had been born. The family consumes, we were told, 100 pints of milk every week and 14 loaves of bread. And the words came into my mind, family or factory, baby factory. And then I wondered, as I was thinking about this word lost this week, what do they do whenever they're in a shop? Do they name all their children individually? Or do they say, number 17, where are you? Number 19, are you still up in the bathroom? How can they remember names? Do they number their children rather than name them? And if one gets lost, how soon is it before it's discovered that that one is missing? lost. Paul Smith was from Liverpool. He was a speaker at Castlewell on Holiday Week a number of years ago. And during that particular week, he told us about how his two boys had gone with friends for a day out at the seaside from Liverpool where they were living. It was like going to the beach at Sea Park, really, for them. It wasn't very far away from where they lived. And the friends had agreed to have them back for 5:30, but 5:30 came and there was no sign of the boys or their friend. And then Paul Smith said the phone rang and it was his friend. And he said, "Paul, you know your two boys?" And Paul said, "Yes, I know them quite well, yes, uh-huh." And the friend said, "Well, I don't know how to say this to you, but we've lost them. They wandered over the sand dunes and they didn't come back, and we are in a police station close to the beach. Can you come?" So Paul Smith said he got into the car, and on the short journey to the beach, the word "lost" took on a completely different significance for him, a different meaning. What if they were injured? What if they were involved in an accident? What if they'd been kidnapped? What if they'd been sexually assaulted? The word "lost" took on a whole new meaning for him as he drove towards the beach and that police station. And he turned his car down to the road leading to the beach and the police station. And as he was driving down this short road, walking in the opposite direction with their hands in their pockets, whistling away, completely unconcerned, were the two boys. So he described how he stopped the car, and he opened the door and very gently and quietly invited them to get inside. Not. They had gone for a walk and they had come back to the wrong car park. And then they'd lost their bearings. They didn't know where they were. And they began looking and looking and looking. And later on that day, one of the boys said to Paul, "Dad, we knew we were lost when we were in a place we weren't supposed to be. We knew we were lost when we were in a place we weren't supposed to be." And we have read of the lost coin and the lost sheep in Luke 15. We read of how the shepherd goes and seeks until he finds it. Not until he gets tired, not until he decides to give up, but until he finds it. We read of how God wants to be our shepherd to bring us back to safety and to him. Because that is what sin really is. It's a departure from God's way. Jesus didn't just come to die for sinners. Jesus came to restore the relationship with God that was broken by our sin and our wrong, our departure from God's way. Jesus came to restore that connection. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. The Lord is our shepherd. He is our guide. He wants to bring us back. He wants to rescue us whenever we are in danger. We sing those words, whether we understand faith, whether we have a living faith in our hearts or not. We're all familiar with the words of the 23rd Psalm. We sing it at weddings and at funerals. We learn the words at Sunday school. We know them. But sometimes I think we lose the meaning of them because of their familiarity. We need to look at the words and recognize just how true they are for us. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't lose the meaning of the words in the complexities of life. I'm going to read to you a paragraph. Some theologians can complicate things very, very much. And as I read this paragraph about a nursery rhyme, I want you to ask yourselves three questions. How many people are involved? What are they actually doing? And what are their names? How many people are involved? What are they doing? And what are their names? So here it is, written by a scientist. A duality of finite beings belonging to both gender groups proceeded towards the apex of a natural geological protuberance. The purpose of their expedition, the procurement of a sample of fluid hydride of oxygen in a large vessel, the exact size of which was unspecified. One member of the team precipitately descended, sustaining severe fractural damage to the upper cranial portion of his anatomical structure. Subsequently, the second member of the team performed a self-rotational translation oriented in the direction taken by the first member. So, how many people were involved?
Two.
Where were they going? What were they doing? They were going up a hill to fetch a bucket of water. And what were their names? Jack and Jill. Sometimes we can complicate a Bible picture unnecessarily. Sometimes we can read into it things that aren't supposed to be there. Sometimes the simplicity of God's message of love and power and peace can be lost in our words, and the meaning lost in the words. Lost. And if we fail to see God's love in Psalm 23 or in any psalm, if we fail to see God's love in the words of the Lord's Prayer, which we shared earlier on, or any of the readings of our Bible, we miss the point behind it. We miss the point of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in this psalm. We miss seeing the high value that God puts on the one single individual who comes back, who returns home after being lost. God cares for the one as well as the many. And having realized they had wandered away, having realized they were in a place they weren't supposed to be, having realized they were far from the loving Father's care, they come back to him when he calls, when he searches, when he seeks. And such joy in heaven there is, says Jesus, when such a sinner repents. The word repents, as you know, means to change your mind in a way that changes your action. Repents, you're going one way, and you stop and you think, and you turn around and you go the way you should have gone in the first place. In his account in Luke, Jesus tells the story because verses 1 and 2 tell us the Pharisees question why he picks his friends among tax collectors and sinners. Why are you associating with these people, Jesus? And that's why Jesus tells the story. Jesus says, because my message is for them as well as for you. It's not just for you righteous people. It's not just for you people in the church of today. It is for everyone. I will seek after all those who are lost. The story is repeated for us in Matthew chapter 18, so it's obviously a very important passage, a very important teaching of Jesus. But in Matthew 18, Jesus brings out a slightly different meaning, that fellowship means giving example to others, that fellowship means helping others. It means helping and supporting others along the way to stop them from wandering away from God's plan for them. Both meanings involve a wandering away, involve a loving, searching, finding father. We didn't go on and read the passage of the lost son, the prodigal son. And it shouldn't really be called the prodigal son, I sometimes think, because the main character in the story is the father, the searching, loving, desperately seeking father, who runs to find his son, who runs to greet him and bring him back. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, raised me up and gently led me back into the narrow way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. God says, don't do anything. Don't do anything that will cause a weaker brother to stumble or to wander away. Don't swear, don't gamble, don't smoke, don't drink to excess. These things are wrong in themselves. They're bad for your body. But don't either spread gossip. Don't be proud. Don't gloat over the misfortune of other people, maybe that you don't like. Because God says, I sent the shepherd, I sent the son for everyone. I sent the shepherd, I sent the son to find the weak and the strong. So look after the tinies in the GB. Look after the unemployed through the food bank and in other ways. Look after the child baptized in your church. And don't put any stumbling block in their path to finding me, he's saying. Mark 9:42. For if you do, it would be better for a large weight to be tied around your neck and you be thrown into the sea. Love God first and love everyone else as much as you love yourself, is Jesus teaching again and again. Seek the lost in my name, Jesus is saying. What about that member of the bowlers who used to come but doesn't come now? Jesus says, seek them out and bring them back. What about that brother or sister-in-law in your family who used to walk with Jesus, who used to go to church but doesn't now? Jesus says, seek them out and bring them back. What about that child who used to come to the Sunday school or the BB or the GB or the youth club or the scouts and doesn't come now? Jesus says, seek them out and bring them back. It means setting aside our pride. It means overlooking and forgiving maybe some trivial thing that divides us from that person. It means helping people back to fellowship in God's name that we don't mind missing, because when they were there with us, they were trouble with a big, big T. Jesus says, seek them out and bring them back. Jesus says, seek them out and bring them back. The shepherd takes the initiative. He says, seek them out and bring them back. He says, these people have lost their bearings. They wandered away. They are no longer following in the path that I have chosen for them. I told you last week or the week before about losing your bearings, about the young man who was starting to plow, and he wasn't very good at it, and he was driving the tractor, and it was little furrows were going all over the place, and he asked a farmer who had been plowing for many years, how do you keep your furrows so straight? And the farmer said, it's easy. You just pick a point in the distance and you keep the front of the tractor pointing at it and you go. And whenever you look back, the furrow will be straight. So he leaves them for a couple of hours and he comes back and the furrows are still all over the place. And he says, did you not follow my advice? And the young man says, yes, I did. He said, well, did you not pick a point in the distance? He said, yes, I did. He says, and what was it? Was it that tree or that hill? He says, no, he says, you see that black and white cow? Following Jesus is getting our bearings right. Following Jesus, the light, the guiding light of life. The shepherd takes the initiative and goes out to find the lost. And he asks us to do the same. The shepherd doesn't wait until the sheep comes wandering home by itself. He knows it is lost, but that it, the sheep, may not know it is lost. And in today's crazy world, people are lost, but they may not know that they are lost. The shepherd goes a long way out of his way to find the lost and bring it back. Why don't we? Let me tell you about Donal. A friend of mine was in Columbus, Ohio, in the United States, a number of years ago. Whenever he was there, he met Donal, a young Irishman from County Monaghan. He was a teacher in the Capital University in Ohio. Donal was an Irish Catholic from a nationalist background who had gone to work in the United States. And while he was out jogging one day, he injured his leg and subsequently had to go to a physiotherapist. The physiotherapist was a Christian, and he talked to Donal about Jesus. He befriended him. He asked him if he'd like to come with him to church, and Donal went. And at church, he found the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And Donal told my friend about the discovery of how God works. God had brought Donal all the way to America to hear the good news of the gospel. You might say that whenever he injured his ankle, God had directed him to this particular physiotherapist. Somehow he had taken the trouble to befriend Donal and introduce him to Jesus. He says, it's wonderful how God works. I was lost, but God found me. And a word from you or me to someone who is lost may be all that they need to be found again. How can I witness? A quiet person once asked the minister. My friend, the minister, replied, the tiniest stamp or the click of a mouse can send a letter or an email that will wreck or bless a nation, and the simplest life can relay blessings that can rock a continent for God. A simple letter, a simple card, a simple message. As we meet for worship this morning, are you lost? Jesus is seeking you. He's wanting to find you. He's wanting you to respond to him. As we meet for worship this morning, are you found? Do you know the living Lord Jesus as your Savior and friend? Then go in his name and seek out the lost, to win the lost, whatever the cost. That's his command. Let's pray together. The words of the old hymn can remind us of the majesty of this Psalm 23, Jesus the Shepherd. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. And none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through till he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. And all through the mountains thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there rose a cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Thank you, Lord, for that day and our experience whenever you sought us out and challenged us, maybe encouraged us, maybe strengthened us, and we found the living Jesus. And if that day has not dawned for us yet, maybe today is the day. Never let us ignore your call to us, but help us to find Jesus as the Good Shepherd and the light of life. In his name we pray. Amen.